Yesterday, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia ruled that the Drug Enforcement Agency does not have to reconsider its designation of marijuana as a Schedule I drug. Schedule I is the most restrictive category for controlled substances. It includes drugs that have a higher potential for abuse, no currently accepted medical use, and a lack of accepted safety for use under medical supervision. The classification is being challenged by a coalition of medical marijuana advocacy organizations and individual patients. Since 1996, 17 states and the District of Columbia have passed legislation or ballot initiatives legalizing the use of medical marijuana, but the DEA continues to treat it as a dangerous drug on a par with heroin. Tamar Todd, senior staff attorney with the Drug Policy Alliance, says yesterday's court ruling maintains that status quo.
Which is that the DEA has scheduled marijuana as Schedule I controlled substance and has continued over the past many years to obstruct research on marijuana and any medicinal value or other value that marijuana may have. The petitioners brought this case to challenge the classification by the DEA by presenting peer-reviewed scientific research showing that the Schedule I was inappropriate for marijuana. But the D.C. Court of Appeals found that the DEA followed its own rules that it's created for evaluating how to schedule controlled substances, and that it followed those rules in this instance, and therefore it wasn't going to return the case to the DEA to have additional hearings or additional fact-finding, and wasn't going to require the DEA to reschedule marijuana.
The DEA has only licensed one location, one facility to produce marijuana that can be used for medical testing, and that's in Mississippi. Have they allowed testing to go forward with anything produced there?
That's sort of the crux of the problem. It's that in theory, there should be a process by which research applications can be approved, testing can take place, and studies can move forward. But the agency has proven itself very, very skilled at obstructing any of that from actually happening. So you're correct in saying that the National Institute on Drug Abuse, through the DEA, has a monopoly on the supply of marijuana that can be legally used in any federally approved research. So researchers have succeeded in getting projects approved and proposed research approved through the Food and Drug Administration, but then they've been unable to get the DEA to agree to give them the supply for research. There's the additional problem that that supply of marijuana that NIDA has, many believe, is not of sufficient quality for research. It has low concentrations of THC. It's missing other cannabinoids that have therapeutic value. And it's often freeze-dried and years old, and it's not of the quality that researchers would need. So even though they've had approval for the research project, the DEA won't give them approval to access the supply. Because they have a monopoly on supply, which is unlike other Schedule I drugs, where there's no monopoly and they can be obtained from different sources. And then, even if they were to get through that hurdle, the supply is not of sufficient quality for good quality research to go forward. And there's a number of research studies that are just hung up in the process where they've achieved approval by the FDA, approval for their project to go forward, but they're in this holding pattern trying to get access to the supply. One thing that's frustrating about the decision yesterday, and is also not surprising, is that agencies get a tremendous amount of deference in how they create rules and how they carry out the responsibilities that have been given to them, and the courts have to give them deference, and basically, unless the court finds they're acting completely arbitrary and capricious with no basis, then the court would intervene. The DEA is highly skilled at having created a completely inefficient and basically unscientific system for moving forward. It's motivated by wanting to keep marijuana Schedule I, and it's figured out a way basically to create agency inefficiency in order to maintain that goal without ever having to address the actual science.
What is the impact on the risk to medical marijuana facilities and medical marijuana patients?
Well, the interesting thing about the federal government's intransigence on this issue and the fact that they've had their head in the sand and kept their head in the sand is that the states and the people have decided not to wait, right? I mean, they've moved forward. They've said, we've looked at the science. It's obvious that people benefit from it. We know from people's personal experience that people benefit from it, and it's helping them. The DEA is never going to move. The federal government's never going to change. So we're going to just allow it under state law. So all the state programs and the one in the District of Columbia don't require doctors to prescribe marijuana. And the reason why they don't require them to prescribe it is in order to avoid the DEA and the DEA's interference. They're not waiting for approval of the DEA for any scientifically approved studies. It's a continuing struggle in terms of how much those states can regulate and how well they can provide access because of the continued federal obstruction. So the more federal obstruction and interference there is, the less ability those states have to regulate and provide their own quality assurance and their own testing and their own evaluation, things like that. But even with the interference, the programs are still moving forward and it's still legal for patients under state law. So they will access the medicine and in some cases, patients and caregivers will produce it themselves. So since those laws were designed around a DEA that is not budging on this issue and is likely to interfere with this issue, I don't think this decision is going to impact those laws or how they're implemented or how they continue to function.
Is this the end of the line for this? Is there an appeal? Obviously, there's the Supreme Court, but is this likely to go there?
I think the first step is that the petitioners will probably seek an en banc hearing in the circuit court in which they'll ask for the full court to decide the issue. There was also an issue of standing in the case as to whether the petitioners could even bring the case at all. And so that's also a question that there could be en banc review on about whether there was standing. And then on the merits, and then if that's granted, there would be another hearing in front of the full court instead of a 3-judge panel. And then following that, there could be an appeal to the Supreme Court. I would think that it would be unlikely that the Supreme Court would hear a case like this because it has to do with the agency deference and it doesn't have to do with the split in interpretation of the various circuits. So it's likely that this is going to be the final word in this case. However, I do think that as these cases mount and as public opinion evolves and the federal government continues to insist on something that nobody believes, it's just another example of how out of touch the federal government, the DEA, is on this issue. And it's going to help underscore that point and build momentum by the states and by the people and through public opinion to eventually force a federal change.
Tamar Todd is a senior staff attorney with the Drug Policy Alliance.